Pantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Chicago, Chicago, that toddling town. Chicago, Chicago, I will show you around. I love it, bet your bottom dollar you lose the blues in Chicago, Chicago, the town that Billy Sunday couldn't shut down. On State Street, that great street, I just want to say, they do things they don't do on Broadway. They have the time of their life. I saw a man, he danced with his wife in Chicago, Chicago, my hometown.
I think Ed played that great song by Frank Sinatra just to get the bullet shots in, if you listen closely. He's making fun of my city. It's not quite what it used to be when I was there, and when we had Mayor Daley. We had both Daleys, you know, the father and the son. They ran that city very, very well. I mean, the good old days now, and you look back on it.
Now you got Mayor Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we have Mayor Beetlejuice there, blaming everybody but herself for all the trouble. Anyway, good morning and welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy, who put all the sound effects in there with the machine guns, he can make any kind of noise he wants, Big Ed Davis. And we thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, June the 22nd. Hey, by the way, it's the first full day of summer. Yesterday was the start of summer. At some point in the day, it became summer. This is the first full day. In a few minutes, Elizabeth Slattery, she is with the Pacific Legal Foundation, is going to be with us. We are going to talk about some of the important Supreme Court decisions still yet to be announced this term. One of them has to do with abortion, a very big one. So we'll talk with Elizabeth just a few minutes from now. And remember all the criticism about Donald Trump's family, you know, his son and his daughter and their involvement in his presidency. Now it's nepotism gone wild in the Biden administration. We're going to discuss that. We're going to take a look at it. And then we're going to get some thoughts about it, among other things, from the proprietor of the Barber Poll, the one and only Andrew Sorese, a little bit later in the show. You know, he's always got the energy to discuss these things. And what if you are the mayor of a city and you announce you're going to ban the reciting of the Pledge of Allegiance at a meeting, a trustees meeting, only to see everybody stand up and recite it anyway right in front of you? Now, what do you think about that? Well, it happened in Colorado, and we're going to discuss it, so stay tuned for that as well. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 longest reigning monarchs in the world. The longest reigning monarch. Who do you think they are? We'll find out. By the way, Freedom Works, we are sponsored in part by the best barbershop for my money in the Tampa Bay area. It is Andrew's Master Barbershop. He is a master barber. That's a designation you get when you're really good. Master Barber. And they're located in Dunedin in the Overcash Plaza. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive. Call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. Well, there's a lot going on. You know, the Supreme Court, it comes up with all these decisions, but rather than like release all of them at one time, there's a point like here in June where they kind of let it fritter out a little bit, you know, one after another. Well, we just learned, in fact, it happened yesterday morning while we were on our program, that the Supreme Court unanimously affirmed a ruling that provides for an increase in how college athletes can be paid. It opens the door for future legal challenges that could stop the NCAA from kind of squashing money that kids that are student athletes can make. I can see both sides of this. You're supposed to go to college and, you know, learn something. And because you're good in a certain sport, and they want you to play on their team so they win more games. As a reward, they will pay, you know, your scholarship and your room and board and all. That's the way it used to be, and everything was fine. Well, now the colleges can make money off of you by selling T-shirts and mugs and keychains with your name on it, and here you are going to the school, and you don't make any money from it. So the Supreme Court basically says that's not very fair. And did you know it was unanimous? A very conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch wrote the opinion. It basically upheld a district court judge's decision that the NCAA was violating antitrust laws by limiting the benefits that schools could give the kids, the student athletes. Now, this decision allows the schools to give their kids unlimited compensation as long as it is in some way connected to their education. Now, I'm not quite sure how that will work, but let's say you're really good. You're like a LeBron James or a Michael Jordan, and you come into college, and you're so good that you're winning every game, and you're packing the place, and you're selling T-shirts with Michael's picture on it. Should Michael get something? How about his family? What if they're dirt poor? You know? I mean, you know the college is making a buck off of it, and they're using Michael to go to the alumni to get more money for everything. So, you know, what is the trade-off? I think it's very interesting. We'll talk a little bit further about that with Elizabeth Slattery in a few minutes. In the meantime, you know, there are two Democrats in the Senate that are more liked by the Republicans than their colleagues in the on the Democratic side. They are Senator Kristen Sinema, she's from Arizona, and Senator Joe Manchin, he's from West Virginia. They're both Democrats, but they both are stopping a lot of legislation that would go over the top in the Senate had it not been for them. Kristen Sinema yesterday doubled down on her defense of the filibuster, declaring that it is important to stop the, quote, repeated radical reversals of federal law. Now, keep in mind that Kristen Sinema comes from Arizona, which is generally, although it's been turning purple, generally it's been a red state. Sinema and Manchin have been the two most vocal Democrats in the chamber defending the filibuster. Now, that is a way of making people have 60 votes to bring legislation to the floor for a vote. So you can filibuster it. In other words, you can stand up. It used to be that you would have to stand up. If you saw the old movie with Jimmy Stewart, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, you really did at that time to stop legislation. You had to stand up and remain standing and not cede to anybody else in the room, and you had to keep talking. Well, that's not what it is anymore. Now they just say, you know, basically, we're gonna filibuster, and it's not quite the Jimmy Stewart mode. And so here's Sinema. She said, and she wrote this, by the way, in an opinion piece, to those who want to eliminate the filibuster by passing the For the People Act, which sounds nice, but it would try and get rid of the filibuster. She said, I would ask this. Would it be good for our country if we did it only to see the legislation rescinded a few years from now and replaced by like a nationwide, excuse me, voter ID law or restrictions on mail voting over the objections of the minority? So she wants to say that the minority has a say and should have a say and should not be railroaded, especially in the Senate, where you've got 50 and 50, 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans. I mean, it's dead even. And only the great Kamala Harris, who is a Democrat and vice president, can break the tie. Anyway, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, Elizabeth Slattery is going to join us. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, some of the decisions we are awaiting to hear. ¶¶
is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Yeah, hello everybody. We have a great new show coming up for you on Thursdays from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. The show is called The Sounds Around Town. It will feature independent artists from our community. We will interview them and give them a chance to play their music on the radio. We will also feature some of the greats who already live in our community. So check us out every Thursday, The Sounds Around the Town, 5 to 6 p.m. on the Cantalk Radio Network, AM 1340, FM 106.1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Open up a honey, it's your lover boy, me that's knocking. Why don't you listen to me, sugar? All the cats are at the high school rocking.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works on a Tuesday. Delighted to have Elizabeth Slattery join us. She is a senior legal fellow at the Pacific Legal Foundation. She also is a co-host of the DIST podcast. In that podcast, she and another attorney, Anastasia Bowden, dig deep into important dissents by the Supreme Court, both past and present, and reveal the stories behind them. That would sound kind of interesting that you're able to go behind the scenes like that, Elizabeth, and talk about what maybe that was going on, or they were going back and forth and arguing with each other behind closed doors. Is that what you do on that podcast?
Yes, thanks so much for having me.
Of course.
The podcast tells the stories that people want to hear about famous dissents at the Supreme Court.
That would be really interesting, I think. And there have been so many important ones. Right now, we have a bunch of important cases that are coming out of the Supreme Court. We've already had the decision on the Affordable Care Act, basically upholding it, although they didn't really go into the merits. They said nobody had standing on this one, and it was a 7-2 vote. Then there was the one on the Catholic foster home program in Philadelphia. That was unanimous, allowing the Catholic foster program, to continue to do its work in Philadelphia and not have to have LGBTQ families involved because it was against the Catholic religion. And then recently, I think yesterday, we had another unanimous ruling had to do with the NCAA allowing compensation of student athletes. So a lot of things are coming up, but we want to talk with you, Elizabeth, a little bit, perhaps, about some of the things that are we haven't heard yet. They've already been decided, apparently. So first of all, why don't they just release all of their decisions at once? Like, open the whole barrel and just pour it down our throats. Why do they kind of incrementally do this?
Why don't they open the floodgates?
Yeah.
I think they tend to release them as soon as they're ready.
Okay.
And that's why, you know, throughout May, we saw many of the decisions in some of the, I guess you could call them easier cases from April, coming out right away, whereas there were cases from that were argued in October and November and December that we waited months for ruling. So I think the Roberts Court releases them when they're ready, so we don't get them all at once.
Now, am I wrong? Do we not have some abortion case that is waiting that perhaps we haven't heard a decision on yet?
Yes, that is a case that the court is going to hear next term.
Oh.
They have not announced yet when the argument will take place. So at the earliest, it would be in October.
Okay, so they haven't ruled on it. Okay, I wasn't sure about that one. So we've got some decisions we are awaiting still. Is that correct? And perhaps you might go over some of the things that we have to look forward to.
Yes, there are 12 cases left, including one that was argued by my colleague at Pacific Legal Foundation, a very important case involving property rights.
Oh, tell us a little bit about it, can you?
Sure. So it's Cedar Point is the name of the case, and it involves a California regulation that allows union organizers to storm onto the private property of agricultural employers, giving them access to employees to try to unionize them. And we argued that this is a violation of the Fifth Amendment because California is taking their property, part of their property rights, without paying just compensation as the Constitution requires.
So these are union bosses or whatever, organizers. They want to come on to property, in this case farming territory or something, and talk with the employees. And somehow, what are they doing here that is a violation, you think?
Well, they're storming onto our client's property. One of our clients is owns a strawberry farm, and the union organizers storm onto the property with bullhorns 120 days a year for 3 hours a day. They're allowed to come onto the property. And one of the most fundamental aspects of our property right is the ability to exclude people from coming onto your property. And this, you know, this stems from a regulation that California first put in place in the 1970s. And it might have made a little bit more sense back then because the state felt that it was hard for unions to reach agricultural employees. But today, you know, nearly everyone has a cell phone. They could access them that way. You know, many people listen to the radio. They could put out ads to share information about unionizing.
Right.
And it doesn't require taking part of our client's property right away, their ability to...
Well, this is kind of like it's a form of harassment, is perhaps what you're also talking about, where they make noise, they got the bullhorns, and they're standing there, and they're kind of... It's an unsettling situation while you got work going on, I guess. I mean, that would be part of it, I would think. What are some of the other upcoming decisions you think we might hear from the court on?
Another case that we're waiting on involves when Congress tries to insulate the head of an administrative agency from the president's control. So we hear a lot today about, you know, the administrative state or federal bureaucrats, but at the end of the day, they need to be politically accountable to someone. And we think the easiest way is by ensuring that the president, whoever it is, can be in charge of who's running these agencies. And so there's a case involving a sub-agency dealing with housing that was created following the mortgage meltdown crisis of the late the 2000, you know, the aughts. And Congress tried to insulate and prevent presidential control of this agency. And so we're waiting on a ruling in that case. And it has broader implications than just the particular agency, because the court has been increasingly skeptical of Congress trying to prevent the president from having direct control over the heads of agencies.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay. Because the agencies fall under the executive branch. And so the president maintains the authority to some extent, and you're saying that Congress is trying to interfere too much in the selection of people into the agency? Is that kind of what it is?
Yes, Congress gives so much power to these agencies and then tries to insulate them from being directly
accountable to the president.
By the president,
okay.
Yes. And... you know, they have to be accountable to someone,
right.
And the president is directly accountable to the people.
Yes, I got you. In other words, rogue, say, heads of agencies that might not be responding to what the president wants, and now the president has no way of involvement in doing something about it because Congress says or the Senate said, hey, we're the ones that put him in there or something, okayed him. Yeah, got it. We're talking with Elizabeth Slattery. She is a senior legal fellow at the Pacific Legal Foundation. She is also the host of the DIST podcast. How do people listen to that? Do they go to the PLF website, or how does that work?
You can find us on our website, and the DIST podcast is available on any platform where you listen to podcasts. So if you have an iPhone, there's a purple button that is, you know, pre-manufactured on every phone. We're on Google Play and all sorts of other platforms.
Wow. You know, in this technology, I'm just an old timer, I guess. It's just gone by me. Don't know how any of this stuff works. You know, it's really something these days, the way communications works. So, before you came on, Elizabeth, we were talking a little bit about this NCAA decision. I don't know if you've got a comment on it. However, the NCAA has come out this morning, and they have dismissed Brett Kavanaugh's opinion, his portion of the Supreme Court ruling, which was a 9-0 ruling against the NCAA. I don't think a lot of people maybe know what exactly all of it entails. Do you mind talking a little bit about this particular case?
Of course. So this was a unanimous opinion written by Justice Gorsuch, and Justice Kavanaugh did have a concurring opinion. And this stems from a lawsuit that was brought by student athletes arguing that the NCAA violates federal antitrust law by restricting their ability to be paid for their job. So the district court mostly sided with the NCAA, but it enjoined the NCAA from placing limits on cash awards that some schools could offer to athletes for education-related benefits.
Okay.
So this is things like giving athletes money for academic tutors, free laptops, scholarships for graduate school, things like that. And it doesn't affect whether schools could actually pay student athletes, although Justice Kavanaugh's concurrence does sort of throw some shade on the NCAA's current practices. He has this great line. He says, "Nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory that their product is defined by not paying their workers a fair market rate. The NCAA is not above the law."
Yeah, it's a very sticky wicket, is it not? I mean, for all of these years, we've had the kids that are coming into the schools that are good athletes. They get their education basically paid for. I guess times were simpler then. You didn't have the computers and all of the other things. But basically they say, you know, play for our team and you're going to get a 4-year education here and we'll pay for your room and board as well. And that was always the way it was. But those days apparently are long gone. And the only thing I'm worried about is if you start allowing more and more to, let's say, certain superstars on your team, would this not kind of be to the detriment of some of the other players that are not getting the laptops, maybe not getting the additional tutoring or whatever?
You know, I guess we'll have to see what happens, you know, how the NCAA reacts and responds to schools to this ruling. But I think further lawsuits are likely to come. And Justice Gorsuch pointed out in his majority opinion, he said, you know, this is, you know, the NCAA argues that it's entitled to different rules from other groups in antitrust lawsuits because it's trying to protect amateur athletes. But Gorsuch says, look, this is not some nonprofit entity upholding educational ideals. It's a massive business. The March Madness broadcast contract is worth over $1 billion.
Yes.
The president of the NCAA earns $4 million a year.
Gosh.
You know, your average football coach at a D1 school makes, you know, upward of $10 million a year.
Wow.
And so this is a serious money-making operation, and I think people are increasingly skeptical of the fact that the student-athletes...
No question. No question about it. Very well explained, Elizabeth. I'm going to give you an A for your explanation. You're going right to the head of the class. I'm going to give you that scholarship, the whole bit. But listen, seriously, thank you so much for coming on. I love talking with you, and you made a lot of good, important points that I appreciate. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Elizabeth Slattery, Pacific Legal Foundation. Let us take our break. And when we come back, Donald Trump's family, remember how they were always picked on by the media and they're involved? Well, turns out it's nepotism gone wild with the Biden administration. We're going to talk about it, get some thoughts from His Highness Andrew Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen.
And I'm Tracy Allen.
Please join us every weekday morning from 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
You can also watch us on Facebook Live on our Good Morning Clearwater Facebook page and on YouTube. Just search Tantalk Radio Network.
Every morning we'll be talking about current events, sports.
Yay, sports.
News, entertainment, weather, and traffic. Have an opinion? You can call us.
That's right. Join us every weekday morning, 8 a.m. till 10 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back on a Tuesday. By the way, we're here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. on the Tantalk Radio Network. But thanks to Big Ed, if you can't hear us live, you can go to our website and listen to any of our shows that we've done recently. Because we have a podcast situation. OurFreedomWorks.com. Go up there, click on the podcast button. Ed's got all our shows on there, bless his heart. Latest show at the top. And you can scroll on down. And by the way, every one of the shows, before you have to click on it, listen to it, we'll tell you who the guest is and the topic and the top 10. So you're all set. OurFreedomWorks.com. Well, you know the way they were going after Donald Trump's kids, and, you know, about their involvement, and they were always looking for things, looking under every little nook and cranny to find something wrong. Meanwhile, of course, with Hunter Biden, don't look over there. Don't look at Hunter. But the White House press secretary, Jen Psaki, said, regarding reports of alleged nepotism in the White House, she said that the Biden administration has higher ethics standards than any other presidential administration ever. Did you know that, Ed? She said, let me say first, we have the highest ethical standards of any administration in history. Okay, well, let's look at some of this. Her own sister has been appointed a senior advisor in the Department of Health and Human Services. Other Biden officials whose family members got gigs include National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan, whose wife, brother, and sister-in-law all work for the Justice Department, the State Department, and the Department of Health and Human Services, respectively. The Secretary of State's wife is the White House Cabinet Secretary. The Chief of Staff's wife is the President's nominee for Assistant Secretary of the Bureau of Oceans and International Environment and Science Affairs. The Senior Advisor Anita Dunn's husband is a co-chair of the president's commission that investigates court packing. So we can go all the way down the line. And, of course, we know about Hunter Biden. And we know his involvement. So we got if I can wake him up, we've got the proprietor of the Barber Poll. Andrew, what do you think about this, with this comparison between the Trump family and the Biden situation?
Well, Paul, first of all I'm going to say is my own opinion.
Yes.
Look at the Trump family and look at the Biden family.
Yes.
Okay, that should speak for itself.
Indeed.
However,
go ahead.
However, old Psaki there.
Psaki.
You know, she puts in her two cents that they have got the highest standards in the world. Are they out of their mind?
Well, I think they are, yes.
When you were talking about the Health Administration appointed from Biden there.
Yes.
Now, that's not the chubby guy that looks like the woman with the long hair, is it?
Oh, The chubby guy that looks like the woman with the long hair. Now, I'm not quite sure I'm sure exactly who you're...
One. It's a big, ugly one.
Okay.
It's a health administration or something. The guy's been 95 pounds overweight. He's transgender. Give me a break.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Okay, yeah, that...
That's one he appointed that's involved in his family, too.
Hey, by the way, did you know that for a tidy sum, you can get some Hunter Biden art? Did you hear about this? Former Obama's ethics chief has ripped into Hunter Biden for selling his art at prices ranging up to $500,000 to anonymous buyers.
He's a very talented individual.
Well, I'll say one thing. He's very enterprising. Talented. Think about it.
Yeah,
I mean, think about it. He's been all over the globe taking money from everybody.
Well, again, I'm just running out of things to say of everything that's going on, except it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Here you got the
hypocritical
player. It comes out, I'm openly gay. Who cares?
Yes.
Who cares? I don't care what you do.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why he had to make a big deal out of it, or at least let's say the media is.
No, here, Andrew was married 4 times. Oh, he must have been with women and everything else. I mean, I'm so sick of it, Paul. I'm telling you. I'm ready to just take care of myself and the hell with what's going on in this country.
Yeah.
Because it's disgusting. Let it fall apart. Let these people rot.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of people that feel exactly like you do. I think they're so unenamored with what is going on it's just like we're in a different world than we used to be in with our federal government.
We're in a different world. Paul, listen. We just need to have a revolution to get this over with, to let this country go one way or the other.
And you keep bringing that up, and I say, well, we want a peaceful thing, but you're not so sure it would be peaceful. And then,
right, Father, nothing's going to happen. Look at, how can you have peaceful things happen? Look at Chicago. Look at New York. Look what's going on in these cities.
That's right.
Peaceful there?
No.
They're trying to take over with violence, aren't they?
Yes. Well, there's this crazy, I mean, it's an abdication. It's an abdication of responsibility there. Is that not true? Look at what happened in Portland and Seattle and now in Chicago with these people that are allowed to roam around and do those kinds of things with little fear of incrimination.
Right. Hmm? Well, instead of having the Wheel of Fortune on at 7 o'clock at night, they need to have a few public hangings.
Yes.
People that are committing violence. They have a few public hangings on television and see how the crime rate goes down in this country.
That would be something.
Start tarring and feather these politicians that are crooked and let them walk around in public like they used to.
Yeah.
In the old days. See how the politicians change.
Well, you know, way, way back after the decision by the judge was, execution, the execution took place within a week or two, didn't it? Not anymore.
No, 25 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Millions of dollars spent.
Yeah, and you get free room and board.
Well, that's all the ACLU, Paul.
Yeah. Hey, you're going to enjoy this. I got to bring up another one. Did you hear about this Senator Sheldon Whitehouse? You know about him, the Democrat in Rhode Island? He's facing scrutiny over his decades-long membership in an all-white private beach club.
Hey,
he bells him to white.
Honestly, Paul, honestly, I'm not seeing nothing wrong with this stuff anymore.
Okay.
Listen, you got an all-black television station.
Yeah.
You got an all-black. What the hell is wrong with all-white?
It's the hypocrisy, and of course you're right. Of course you're right. He builds himself as a progressive and a prominent critic of systemic racism. And he dismissed the protests of his membership based on race as a, quote, long tradition in Rhode Island. So it's just the hypocrisy of it all. That's all. And of course, there should be.
And that's all that's going on with this country today, Paul.
Of course. I mean,
90% of these people in this country today are a bunch of hypocrites. Are you kidding me?
You're right. And 100% of the politicians in Washington. So we know that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we know that.
Going, Paul? We can sit here and talk till we're blue in the face.
We could.
This country's either got to sink or it's going to float.
Okay.
I'm tired of this crap going in between.
So, I want to get back to Ron DeSantis. He's everybody's golden boy in the Republican Party. I'm not kidding. We talked about it the other day. I think if he wanted the Republican nomination, I think they would hand it to him on a platter. The bigwigs in the Republican Party. That's just my feeling. I
agree with you 100%, Paul.
Yeah. And I think he would be great for this country. He's a no-nonsense guy. You know, he's a law and order guy. Look what he's doing in Florida. He's getting everybody. You might hear about...
Paul, let me tell you something. If he becomes president, you're going to see this country in an uproar to begin with, because he's going to try and straighten it out, and these people are going to go bananas.
That's all right.
To control them. Oh, I agree. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
We either, you know, they say what? Shit or get off the pot.
Uh-oh.
Time's come.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think he's, I'm not sure that he wants the job right away. And he's got a relationship with Donald Trump, and I don't know how that would go. But a very interesting scenario there. So, overall, I don't know, here in Florida, we feel kind of like we're insulated maybe a little bit from some of the things that are going on in other places. Like you mentioned, Chicago, New York. Look at the crime rate in New York. Obviously, we've seen what's going on in Portland. Now in Portland, all of a sudden, the Chamber of Commerce there is trying to lure people back to the city, saying that some of the things you've been hearing are true, but some are not true. I mean, is that the best you can do to lure people to...
Is it true that the riot squad all walked off the police the other day? Okay.
Yeah.
What more do you need to know?
I know. Well, I'm just saying, I wouldn't want to work for the Chamber of Commerce of Portland right now.
I'm telling you, Paul, the only scenario to save this country before the next 3.5 years is over with, I told you before, and I'm going to say it again, Trump in Congress, the Republicans take over the House and Senate, Trump becomes Speaker of the House, okay?
I would pay to see that, yeah?
I'm telling you, we get rid of Biden and Kamala by impeachment. They've had grounds for it already within the first 6 months. We get them impeached. Trump becomes president for 2 years, starts straightening things out. By that time, Trump is 77 years old. Let Ron step in and finish the job.
Oh, you got it all planned.
Well, it needs to fall, Paul, because if it doesn't, this country's going to go down in 3.5 years. The Jesus won't save it, believe me.
Yeah. I just have this beautiful visual of Nancy Pelosi handing the gavel over to Donald Trump, and he takes it out of her hand and promptly bops her over the head with it.
That'd be beautiful.
That would be a golden moment.
Well, that's the scenario, too.
That's
a golden scenario.
It is.
You know what? It's a playbook, and they should be working on that playbook, because I guarantee you the people would be right behind it.
I agree with you on that. You know, it is always a pleasure to talk with you, Mr. Ceresi. Thank you so, so very much. Is business going fairly well this summer, now that we're in summer?
You know what, Paul? It's busier than I want to be at 66 years old, to be honest.
Really? Too much work? Too much business?
That's right. I'm going to get some of this free unemployment and start...
No, you don't.
Retirement, you know?
You're not that kind of a... you're not that kind of... Don't go there. You're not that kind of a person. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure.
Paul, you have a good day, buddy.
Talk to you Friday.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes. The master barber himself, Andrew. And by the way, great staff, Candy. And there's another young lady there that's been there recently, does a wonderful job. It's just a great place to go. It's a great atmosphere, too. Andrew's master barbershop. All right, let us take our final break. And when we come back, going to talk a couple of things. We're going to talk about a mayor that decided they weren't going to do the Pledge of Allegiance at a trustee meeting, only to see everybody stand up and immediately do it. And we're going to talk a little bit about the lightning and the shellacking that they gave out last night. And we're going to give you the top 10 longest reigning monarchs. Get away.
Get a big job with pain. You're okay. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
join Joe Pippin for Ask an Attorney Radio Show, Saturday mornings from 8 to 9 a.m. Ask an Attorney is Florida's longest running radio show for over 35 years now. So if you've got a question for an attorney, call Joe Pippin during his live radio show. Ask a question, get an answer, free of charge, of course. Saturday mornings, live from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Or to contact Joe Pippin directly, call 727-586-3306.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back for the final segment of Freedom Works. We thank you very much for joining us. Well, the mayor of Silverton, Colorado. Ed, you go to Colorado for skiing purposes. Do you know where Silverton, Colorado is? Sounds like a mining town or something. Or is it anywhere near where you go?
I think you're about right. I think it is. I think it actually it's towards, where is that? It's out west.
Okay.
West of, like Grand Junction, Colorado, somewhere in that area, I believe.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, the mayor of Silverton, a guy by the name of Shane Furman, announced at a trustee meeting last week that the Pledge of Allegiance would no longer be said due to, quote, direct and indirect threats, unquote, which prompted at least one trustee to challenge him. And the attendees went ahead and recited the pledge anyway. Now, the mayor said he reportedly made the decision based on inappropriate comments in and out of public meetings and general divisiveness and issues created in our community. What? That's a namby-pamby reason to nullify saying the Pledge of Allegiance. You know, the first thing you want to do, you want to get people patriotic, tell them that they can't recite the pledge or sing the Star Spangled Banner or stand up when the flag goes by. I'm not kidding. That'll get everybody unified.
It's funny you mention that because it was probably about 4 or 5 months ago that at, I believe it was a high school softball game, that the announcer came on and introduced the kids and said, due to whatever, we will not be doing the pledge, the national anthem. And you just heard a groan, and all of a sudden, everybody in the audience, in the stands, stood up and started singing the national anthem.
And you and I can both talk about it a little bit later, but at the Islanders games, the lady starts to sing.
That's great, yeah.
And it's a beautiful thing. The Islander fans begin singing the Star Spangled Banner. I mean, there's really a sense, I think,
New York,
these days.
New York still remembers 9/11.
Oh, yeah, that's another thing. Oh, yeah, you're right.
Anytime you think about the national anthem, the 9/11 comes to their mind.
You are so right about that. So it was kind of good to see that they immediately stood up. One of the trustees at the meeting challenged the mayor and called out his decision. He downplayed her concern. But, you know, just to say it on his own, we're not going to do it. I mean, that doesn't even sound right to begin with. I mean, you're at a trustees meeting. Don't you want to get an opinion from the rest of the people?
Mm.
Anyway, I found that to be kind of interesting. Let's see here. We got a few minutes still before our top 10. Kamala Harris has gone 90 days now without going to the border. Mm-hmm. That's a great job she's doing, as the borders are, is it not? In the meantime, there were more than 180,000 migrant encounters. 180,000 migrant encounters at the border last month.
Did you know that Dr. Jill Biden will be in town in Tampa and Orlando these next 2 days?
Oh.
So she is actually getting closer to the border than Kamala is.
She is.
Yeah.
By the way, since she's a doctor, I wonder if she would look at this arm situation. I got a little bursitis. Yeah. I guess she's not that kind of a doctor. Actually. Mm-hmm. She likes to be called a doctor.
Oh, yes.
But she's not a medical doctor.
But and she likes to have her husband introduce her that way.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's able to even remember her name, much less whatever her title is. But that's right. She likes to get introduced as a doctor. I guess it makes her feel a little bit better. Okay, Ed, we got a few minutes before we do our... by the way, we have a great top 10. This is in the history of the world, the longest reigning monarchs. But I sat down at Norton's last night with a bunch of people to watch, to watch a game. And before I had ordered my first drink, the Lightning had scored their first goal, I think, within inside about 40 seconds of the game start.
You sure it was before you ordered your first one or before you drank the first one?
I had five or six lined up at that point.
Let's say you must have done one every time they scored. Did you have that game or something?
Yeah, that and a couple more. I'll tell you what, it was unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. 8-0 they win. I mean, what happened?
I don't know if you could hear the announcers at all, if they played the announcers. But
they did.
In the first quarter and into the second quarter, you heard them say on a couple of times, well, the Islanders, you know, on that last play, just turned the puck. Oh, and they just did it again. You know, and it just kept happening. They kept, it was Christmas. You know, they just kept giving them the puck and saying, here, go out. You know, and
it was the most one-sided game I've seen in the playoffs.
Yeah, and Vasi, you know, shut him out.
Vasilevskiy, the goalie for the Lightning.
With an 8-0
win. Yeah, he didn't give up anything.
No.
I mean, we could have closed up and gone home after the first 40 seconds of the game.
There was
not going to be any scoring by the Islanders, so that would have done it. That was the winning goal.
It'll be interesting to where the Islanders go from here. Now, either they're embarrassed and pissed off, and they're going to come out like gangbusters tomorrow night, or it may throw them into a shell that they're totally embarrassed to lose.
I think they're going to come out for blood.
I think so, too. I'm looking, this will go seven games.
You do?
I'm thinking that way.
Yeah. I mean, if you're a professional and you're that good, I think you do come out and you just fight harder. And it's not like it will intimidate you.
Now, did you see during the broadcast, I believe it was after the third... Oh, no, it was the fourth goal that the TV crew showed an Islanders fan get out of his seat, ripped his hat off, threw it to the ground, stomped on it, took his shirt off or his jersey off and slammed out to the ground and went out the door.
And if I'm not mistaken, the jersey was worth about $150.
And he missed four more goals, you know?
I know.
He left early.
I mean, if I was wearing a $150 shirt, I don't care what the score
and the CT
is.
Rin,
I'm keeping it.
The CT Rin were at least $100.
I felt bad
for
them.
That's about a buck and a half right there in that bowl.
I mean, and they would show those Long Island fans from time to time sitting there rather morose and quiet.
Yeah.
Just, you felt bad for them. I mean, 8-0? Now, they were trying to give... our forward, Steven Stamkos, the hat trick. Did he get it?
No, he did not. No, he got two.
He got two goals, though, didn't he?
Yeah.
It's amazing how good they looked.
Very entertaining, but still was not at capacity. I don't know what the problem
is. Looked like it was.
No, 14-5 once again. I know the Islanders are running at full speed, and that's in New York. So I don't... This is a Jeffrey Vinnick thing, the owner. This is a Jeffrey Vinnick thing. I don't know what it is, but... 5,000 people is a lot of people to make some noise, you know?
Didn't you mention that it might have been the number of employees that they had available to give out the hot dogs and the beer and all that kind of thing?
Yeah, concession workers.
Concession.
But you've had enough time to hire those people
by
now.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. Very well put, Ed. By the way, did our beloved Rays win?
No.
Oh, then we don't want to go there, do we? They've lost about four or five in a row, haven't they?
Six.
Really?
Yes.
What's happening to
them?
They
lost two in Chicago, and they got swept in Seattle.
And Seattle had kind of we thought they had a mediocre team. Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're good. All right, sir. We have the top 10 longest reigning monarchs. This comes from Top 10s, T-E-N-Z, top10s.net. And this is a very interesting group of people. Wait till you hear who they are. Here we go. Number 10. Okay, a delayed reaction from Ed. That's okay. He had to get over there on the door. It's Hirohito. You know who that was, Ed? Hirohito?
No.
He was the Emperor of Japan during World War II. And he lasted 62 years and 13 days on the royal throne. His tenure began in 1925. All right. Number 9. James I of Aragon. That's in... the Spanish area. He was monarch for 62 years, 319 days. He was known as the Conqueror, He was the Iberian Peninsula monarch, claimed the help of God in annihilating as many infidels as he did. Number eight. Victoria I of England, Queen Victoria, 63 years, 216 days. She eventually ruled over the biggest empire in history. Half of the known world. From about 1840 to 1900, she ruled. Okay, number seven. Ferdinand I of Sicily. He ruled 65 years, 90 days. He inherited the kingdom of Naples and Sicily when his father was the Spanish king. And that was back in 1759. Number six, Franz Joseph I. He was the emperor of Austria, the Austrian Empire. 67 years, 355 days. The assassination of his nephew, Franz Ferdinand, was the spark that started World War I. Number five, she's still on the throne, Elizabeth II. She's 68 years and counting. 68 years and counting. You know she got on the throne in 1952? Mm. Wow. Number four, Johann II of Liechtenstein. That's that little sliver of a country near Germany. 70 years and 91 days. They called him John the Good. He took power in 1858. He abolished the army. He turned Liechtenstein into a strong financial center and a tax haven. Way, way back. Number three. And boy, this is a name you'll never see written too much. Bhumibol Adulyadej.
Mm.
Yeah, you remember him, of course, in Thailand. Mm. He ruled for 70 years and 126 days. He was a musician, an author, a sailor, a painter, and an inventor. And he was born here in Massachusetts.
Mm.
Okay, number two. Louis XIV of France. He reigned for 72 years and 110 days. He established France as both an economic and world power, great patron of the arts. But his own greatest achievement, his own consolidation of total power. Okay, we are now at number one, and
I have no idea.
I know you don't. I wouldn't either. Never heard of this person, but it's Subhuza II of Swaziland. Good old Subhuza. You remember him.
Subhuza of Swavi.
Yeah, it sounds like you're sneezing when you say it. 82 years and 254 days he reigned. Born in 1899, Southern Africa, he became a king at the age of 4 months after his father died performing a ritual dance. His father literally collapsed performing a ritual dance. Don't go there with a ritual dance. Mm-hmm. He was chosen from among a group of other sons by a tribal council that included his mother. He had 70 wives and fathered 210 children.
Wow.
He was a busy man.
Obviously.
Subhuza. All right, everybody.
Lightning just scored again.
Yes, I'll tell you what, they're amazing. And they're playing again tomorrow night.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on Friday. Remember, freedom works.
I gave a girl a ride in the wagon. She crawled in and took control. She was tired, cause her mind was dragging. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. Cause like a picture she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair. She woke up and took me by the hand.